This is Bill Woods again, the voice from the high desert here in Arizona. I want to talk to you a little bit today about a topic I think we need to understand. Maybe a lot of people don't understand. I'm asking the question, what is grace? What is grace? Webster's Dictionary gives a lot of definitions of grace, including mercy and clemency and a favor rendered by one who need not do so. Also in the definitions under grace was a section titled Theology, where grace is described as divine love and protection bestowed freely upon mankind. Also, the state of being protected or sanctified by the favor of God, an excellence or power granted by God, and finally, an unmerited gift from God. Listen to that last one, an unmerited gift from God. That means that in no way do I deserve God's mercy. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. There is no way I can merit God's grace. God bestows upon all of us the privilege of having our sins forgiven because of his unfathomable love. He adopts our undeserving selves into his family as his own. I'd like to tell you a true account from history that happened 190 years ago. It was 1830, and George Wilson had just been sentenced by a judge with these fateful words, "George Wilson, I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until dead." As that judge slammed his gavel down, Wilson must have been thinking about the government official that he had killed while robbing the U.S. mail. Back then, the judicial process was much different than it is today. Now it's common to hear about people spending 10, 12, even more years on death row waiting for their appeals to be exhausted before judgment is finally carried out. Back then, the sentence was usually carried out within a few days or weeks at most. When it takes so long for a sentence to be carried out like it is today, people tend to forget how terrible the crime was and begin to find sympathy for the condemned killer, making void the lesson that crime has severe consequences. A surprising thing happened just before George was to be led to the gallows. President Andrew Jackson had granted a full presidential pardon to George Wilson. Jackson used the power provided to him by the United States Constitution to extend mercy and clemency. In other words, grace to a condemned murderer. Grace. He did not deserve it, but he was given unconditional pardon if he would take it. The pardon was sent to the prison warden, where Wilson waited to be executed. The warden read the pardon, then walked to Wilson's cell. Opening the door, he told a stunned Wilson that he was free to leave. I imagine Wilson asked, "You said what?" The warden explained that the president had granted a pardon and Wilson could leave. What happened next was even stranger. Wilson refused to leave the prison cell, refused the pardon, refused to accept the free gift of grace he had been granted by the president. The warden now had a real problem. He had a court order telling him to hang George Wilson, and he had a presidential pardon telling him to free George Wilson. But Wilson refused to cooperate. He refused to leave. Being a good civil servant, the warden did the only thing he could. He turned the matter over to his superiors. The strange case of George Wilson became one of the great debates in the history of the American judicial process, eventually winding up before the United States Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall at that time wrote the majority opinion that's almost perfect in its simplicity. Marshall wrote, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon." Now stop and think for just a moment. George Wilson was under a death sentence. George Wilson did absolutely nothing to deserve a pardon. Actually, there was absolutely nothing George Wilson could have done to earn a pardon. George Wilson never asked for a pardon, but the pardon was granted anyway. However, George Wilson refused to accept the pardon and was in fact hanged by the neck until dead. You know, that's how you and I were born, under a death sentence. We were all born tainted in sin. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It also says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the good news is we have a pardon provided that there's that is there for the taking. But the gift of God, it says in Romans 6:23, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter how good you might think you are, you can never earn a pardon from the death sentence. However, the good news is our pardon has already been granted through grace from God. It's ours simply by accepting it. George Wilson could have chosen life by saying yes. Wilson could have been a free man by saying yes. Wilson could have had a fresh start, his crimes forgiven, by saying yes, but Wilson turned down a pardon written by the President of the United States using a pen dipped in ink. We have a pardon written by the hand of God using a finger dipped in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Remember that definition I read twice, an unmerited gift from God? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me repeat that part of the scripture that says, whosoever believeth him should not perish. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's simple. Quoting United States Supreme Court Chief Justice Marshall, a pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. John 3:16 either means everything or it means nothing at all. John 3:16 either means life and life everlasting through Jesus Christ, or it is just a slip of paper. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I personally know I have a pardon that's not just a slip of paper. I have a pardon through grace from God that promises me freedom from the consequences of sin once I confess my sins to Jesus Christ and ask for his forgiveness. I'll have a home in heaven with him for all eternity. You can have that same assurance too. I certainly can't understand anyone who knows Christ will pardon their sin and is offering them a new life with freedom from Satan's bondage and still decides to continue in sin with the possibility of dying and spending an eternity, that means like forever, in hell. I've got to say that's much dumber than George Wilson's decision not to be pardoned by the president and to be set free. Maybe you don't grasp the gravity of the situation. Jesus wasn't just playing games when he died on the cross for you and me. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Unless Jesus shed his blood and paid the price for our sins, and remember, he had no sins of his own, we would end up in hell for eternity. Hell wasn't made for you. It's a place of punishment designed for Satan and his fallen angels. We know that they are the demons that are plaguing society today. If you end up in hell, you'll go there as an intruder. God has provided the plan of salvation for you that guarantees you will avoid hell if you accept his son Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you end up in hell, you'll have to go over every barricade God has placed to keep you away from that destruction. Let me add, people say, I can't serve a God who sends people to hell. Well, the truth is, God doesn't send people to hell. He provides a way to avoid hell, grace, unmerited gift of mercy, through his son Jesus. If a person goes to hell, it is because of his or her choices to reject God's love and ignore the pardon that's available through God's mercy. You have the power of choice. You can choose where you will spend eternity. God said in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. I was thinking, suppose you were driving too fast down one of the interstate freeways and got pulled over by a state trooper. He said, you were driving way too fast and you're going to have to pay a heavy fine and maybe spend some time in jail. He wrote the ticket and pointed to the date you would have to show up in court and go before a judge. You fretted and worried, but finally the day came for your appearance before the judge. You've heard what a rough judge he is and how he doesn't seem to know what mercy is. He'll throw the book at almost anybody. You know he's going to throw the book at you. You go into court with fear and trembling. The bailiff calls one case after another, but never calls your name. You get more and more apprehensive as time goes on. Why hasn't he called me by now? You finally go to the bailiff and ask why your name hasn't been called. He checks his record and says, well, here it says your penalty has been paid in full. You are free to go. You don't understand. You were guilty. You deserved whatever penalty was going to be given to you. The bailiff said, all I know is that your penalty has been paid. The law is satisfied. You are free to go. Grace. Jesus paid your penalty for sin with his own blood, and the law is satisfied, and you are free from the guilt of sin if you ask Jesus to forgive you, if you turn your life over to him, if you repent, tell him you're sorry for your sins, decide that you're going to live for him and do his will. You will never have to face that sin or those sins again because Psalms 103:12 says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now think about that for a minute. If you go east around the world, you never do come west. You just keep going east and east. If you go north and south, there comes a time where if you're going north, then you'll start heading south. But there is no ending for east and west. And so God has forgiven your sins and removed them as far as from the east is from the west, and you'll never have to face those sins again. Praise God. I would encourage you, just choose now to accept grace that God has provided for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, meaning you, could have eternal life, could have forgiveness of sins. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would suggest you stop right now. Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sinful living, to come into your life and help you to become a child of God. Well, God bless you. I hope this has cleared up some thoughts about grace, and I hope that you realize what an important thing it is that we accept Christ as our personal Savior. I would like to stop for a moment and have a word of prayer. Maybe you need prayer today too. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for the fact that you loved us so much, that you were willing to come and take our sins upon yourself, to become the very essence of sin, so that we might be able to be forgiven of our sins and be able to be with you for all eternity. Lord, I pray that you'll bless those today that have heard this message. And if there are those that don't know you as their personal Savior, Father, I pray that they would realize that you said, today is the day of salvation, today is the accepted time, that they might call upon you and allow you to come into their lives and allow you to change them and give them eternal life. We praise you, God, for who you are and what you've done. We want to thank you, and we want to ask Jesus that you'll help us. We might glorify you in our lives today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening, and I'll try to have a time with you again next week. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.